Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, where we read, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Please be seated. There are two ways of looking at comfort. One way is to give hope and strength through words. Another way is to give hope and strength through actions. One view of comfort is all about feelings and emotions. Another view of comfort is all about restoration, that is, removing what is causing the grief, the fear, the pain, and make it all better. And this morning, I suspect you need the second kind of comfort. You don't need any shallow platitudes that conjure up hopes of puppy dogs and unicorns. You need someone to actually do something to comfort you. You need to feel the burdensome weight of all the pressures and the dangers around you lifted from your shoulders. You need the balm of comfort and healing rubbed deep into your weary and overstressed emotions so that you can relax in comfort, knowing that all is well and you can rest in true comfort. For the last 9 months, it feels like we've been living in a wilderness. The pandemic, social distancing, shutdowns, job losses, increased loneliness, addiction, suicide has caused much division between family and friends and even Christian brothers and sisters within the congregation because of different opinions how we should approach the situation. And it doesn't stop there. There's all the political division within our country. There's a national debt that gets greater every day that threatens your future and your pocketbook. And along with all this mess, you and I must face the truth about who we really are. We are a people who do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We daily sin much, and not only do we deserve our current sufferings, at the very least, we deserve eternal damnation and eternal punishment. So yes, you and I are in desperate need of true comfort. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Lord God speaks through his prophet to deliver two different kinds of messages. He delivers law and gospel. It's a message of judgment, and it's a message of hope. God pronounces judgment on his people because they've continually turned their backs on him and gone their own way. They rebel against him. He pleads with them to repent or face his righteous judgment. These are God's covenant people. They're sons of Abraham, descendants of Abraham, but they are secure in their sin, and they refuse to turn from their wickedness. And because of all their transgression and rebellion against God, God will pour out his judgment against them. He will allow them to be conquered and driven out of their land. The book of Isaiah foretells the fall of Judah to the Babylonian army. Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed and plundered. The majority of the people will die, and that small remnant of survivors will be deported into exile in Babylon. And that covers the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah. 39 chapters describing God's judgment. However, our Old Testament text this morning, the beginning of chapter 40, is a turning point in Isaiah. We hear God's message of gospel, his message of good news and hope. And it is true, even though God will pour out his judgment on Judah, his love for his people is just as strong as it ever has been. For those of you parents, you've experienced it. Your children sin against you. Your children anger you. You may have to punish them, but you still love them. Even when they stumble and fall into great sin and suffer great consequences, you love your child. Even when a father must severely discipline his child, his love for his child is no less. Likewise, God still loves his people. Now, Isaiah's Old Testament message is not just merely a history story for us. It's a message of gospel and hope. Hope not only for those who are deported into Babylonian captivity, it's a gospel message of hope that applies to all of God's children of all times, and most especially you here this morning. Beginning with chapter 40 and throughout the rest of the book of Isaiah, our Lord God lays out his plan of salvation through his suffering servant, Christ Jesus, his only begotten Son. Isaiah is God's mouthpiece to all people of all time. He doesn't merely address your feelings with shallow platitudes, but speaks the soothing balm of the gospel. He speaks God's word. God's word is authoritative. It's his authoritative command that never returns void. It always accomplishes what it is sent out to achieve. From this point in the book forward, Isaiah describes the reality of God's comfort as it is bought and paid for by Jesus' suffering death and his precious blood. The prophet begins his words with, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." The word comfort in our text is an imperative. Two comforts, two imperatives, double the comfort. And just as Judah and Israel were God's covenant people, he's proclaiming his covenant comfort for you because you too are his covenant child. Because he made a promise to you in baptism. That was his covenant with you. He hasn't forsaken you. You are his people, and he is your God. And just like Judah, you don't deserve his words of comfort. You don't deserve his redemption. But it's an act of divine mercy without any merit or worthiness in yourself. God's word assures you that you are doubly comforted by knowing that your warfare is ended. That is, you are no longer slaves to your sin. You no longer have to battle against that sin. You're a child of God. You have a covenant with the Father. He is your God. You are his children. Your iniquity is doubly pardoned. It doesn't matter what era or age you live in. All mankind is in need of comfort, pardon, and restoration. Isaiah is direct to the point. He writes, "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass." Just a few short months ago, your lawn most likely was lush and green and needed mowed every couple days because of all the rain. But now it's a wilderness. You look outside and you can see brown patches out there as if the lawn is dead. And this is a picture of our lives. The truth is, everyone withers, fades, and dies. And the older we get, the more we feel it in our aching bones. Every day, people die. Virus or not, people die. You might hide out long enough from the virus to get a vaccine, but the vaccine is not going to protect you from the ultimate death. The vaccine is temporary. And the reason that everyone dies is because of the virus of sin that has infected you, that has been passed down from generation to generation from our ancestors, Adam and Eve. Everyone here this morning, everyone in the world is infected. And it's worse than that. It's like we enjoy being infected with sin. You and I don't want to listen to God's commands. We don't want to live as we ought. We don't want to love our neighbor as ourselves. We'd rather delight in doing things our own way, being our own God. And like every generation who has gone before us, the fact remains, if you live long enough, you will die, wither, and fade away. But there is hope. There is comfort upon comfort. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. And there is the answer, the word of our God. The fact that we even know that the Lord is our God is because of the grace that he has given us as he reveals himself to us in his word. He has given his word through Moses, the prophets, and the apostles who were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they recorded God's word, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And it wasn't just these apostles who recorded the word. Some of them didn't record the word. The prophet, the greater prophet, John the Baptist, Isaiah foretold of his coming, him the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Mark records that John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was a witness to the light. He bore witness to the light who is Christ. He knew that he's only preparing the way for the one who is so much greater than him, the one who he wasn't even worthy to stoop over and untie his sandals. He was preparing the way for the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, the one who baptized you at the Holy Spirit at the font, the one whose baptism unites you to Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave. And just as sure as Christ is raised from the dead, all those who die in Christ will be raised on the last day to live with him in eternity. And that is your comfort. We do not need to be afraid of death. Everyone dies, but all who are in Christ Jesus pass through death into eternal life. We're in the season of Advent. The season of Advent is a time of preparation and a time of repentance. It's a time that we prepare for the coming of our Savior. And not just only preparing for our Savior coming in the manger on Christmas morning or at his Epiphany. It is those two. But it's a preparation of something greater, a preparation of Jesus coming in glory on the last day, when he comes with glory and might, when he makes all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. And as you daily trudge and slog through this wilderness of life, some days it seems like, boy, he sure has taken his time getting here. Jesus said he's coming soon. What's the delay? Well, Holy Scripture reminds us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Paul writes in Thessalonians, it will come like a thief in the night. Isaiah says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. You are his people. He is your God. Take comfort in the promises God has made you in baptismal waters, the promises he makes you in his authoritative and performative word. His word endures forever. Whatever your sufferings are in this wilderness of life, this short, fleeting life, remember that all the things that you see are temporary, but it's the things that are unseen that are eternal. St. Paul writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What greater comfort can there be? You possess God's promise. Your warfare is over. Your iniquity is pardoned. Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the grave, and he has made peace between you and God, restoration of your relationship, restoring you as an heir of all of Christ's gifts, won on Calvary's cross. Your sins are no longer held against you. Peace and comfort are yours through Christ Jesus. For his death has won you forgiveness. His resurrection assures you of your rising from the dead. And on the last day, Jesus will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them into his bosom. He will appear visibly to lift you from your wilderness and take you to himself in eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.